Good morning, everybody, and welcome back to the Cancer Survivor Show, brought to you by the Chemo Girls. You have Sharon and my dear friend
Lucy
here with you again today, coming from South Georgia. And let me go ahead and apologize. I know I sound like a frog. Lucy, I sound like a frog.
Well, you don't sound like yourself, but not to the extreme of frog.
Well, I feel like I'm croaking, and I'm sorry. But we are going to muddle through this because we are really delighted to have Miss Toni Nicholson with us today. She is a really inspiring woman that we met at the National Women's Survivor Conference in Nashville, Tennessee. Actually, we didn't meet her. She won this podcast interview, but we have had the opportunity to sit and chat with her, and
just delight, floored. Delight.
Yeah.
You guys are going to be blown away by her story today.
Yeah.
And the message that she's going to bring forth.
That's right.
It's a needed message.
I think it is.
For all of us.
First thing I'll say is Miss Toni lives in Tennessee. She's lived other places, but she's back home in Tennessee now. I want to kind of scoot back to 2005 and sort of set up her story for you. In 2005, January of that year, she was happily married to a gentleman that she knows is her soulmate. She had two sons. She was an administrative assistant. They were living the American dream, you know, in a nice home and a lovely family. But something inside of her believed that there was more that she could offer and a more potential in her. So you'll hear about her story here. But one thing I'll tell you, and I've heard this come out of her mouth more than once, and I really love it. She sees herself as a soul survivor.
Mm-hmm.
And she can explain that to us a little more as she goes. So, Miss Toni, hello and welcome to the show.
Welcome, Toni.
Hello, Lucy. Hello, Sharon. Thank you very much.
Miss Toni, will you please just start talking forward through your cancer story for us? But it starts before that. You had some serious twists and hairpin curves in your life before cancer even came into play. So let's start in that January to February of 2005.
Sure. It was in February, I believe it was, of 2005, and my husband was diagnosed. And after his diagnosis, he had surgery in 2010 and had his kidney removed. And so life went on, and life was grand for us. We were living the American dream, and so this was just a bump in the road for us. After his surgery in April, he went back to work, and in September, he noticed that there was a lump in his neck. And so he went to the doctor, and they found out that it was cancer as well. They put him on treatment, and a few months after that, he started having pain again in his left side. And so they put him in the hospital for about a week and tried to control his pain. And he did good for a while, and then eventually the cancer began to get the best of him. He fought a good fight. July 4th, 2008, he lost his battle with cancer.
Oh, my goodness.
And let me just say that for this, we were living the American dream. We lived in a nice house. We traveled the world, and I had met my soulmate. And so for something like this to happen, to say I was devastated, that's an understatement.
Mm-hmm.
Because at
yeah.
44, I didn't expect to lose my husband. And so I found myself a widow raising two children. We would fast forward to 2010. I had noticed that there was a lump in my breast. And I wasn't worried because I had always had cysts in my breast since I was like 16 years old. And the cysts began to grow. And so I'm living with the pressure of my husband being dead and, you know, all the fears and the new life I had to take on as being a widow. And I went to the doctor, and they found out that it too was cancer. And not only was it cancer, it was stage 4 cancer.
Wow.
And so So after my diagnosis, I went through chemo. I went through 3-4 months of chemo. 3 weeks before or after surgery, I had surgery. I had a mastectomy, and 3 weeks after my surgery, I had a brain aneurysm. And so they medevaced me to Washington Hospital Center, and while in Washington Hospital Center, I caught a deadly infection. I was in and out of ICU for 6 weeks fighting for my life.
My goodness.
I had no recollection of being in the hospital. It's just those last 3 or 4 days is when I remember being in the hospital. When I got out of the hospital, I had to learn how to walk, talk. I went through physical therapy, speech therapy all over again.
Mm-hmm.
And so at that time, I was living in the Washington metropolitan area, but my family was here in Tennessee, so I had to move to Tennessee. And I went through that period. I've always been a very strong person, but I went through that period where I went through depression.
Mm.
And I would just sit on the sofa and flip the TV, and I was just waiting to die. I just didn't understand why all of this was happening to me. Like we most of the time say, God, why me?
Yeah.
And so we don't question God when the good things happen, but when the bad things happen, we say,
yeah.
God, why
oh,
me?
Oh, sure.
And
yeah.
I had lived a beautiful life, but I still didn't understand why all of this was happening to me. And I would lay on the sofa depressed and crying and ask God all those questions. And then one day, I just decided to get up and walk to the block. And that block led to another block. And before you know it, I was walking on the campus. And I began to move. And I had an epiphany about my life. And those 6 weeks, I began to connect with nature, and I began to see that, wow, life is not about what happens to you, but it's what you do with what happens to you.
Yeah.
Because we all are dealt a hand. But it's not the hand that you are dealt, it's how you play the game.
Mm-hmm.
And so from there, I began to see that I get to make the choice, not how long I live, but how I would live. And so I began to write, and I've always wrote, but I just began to write about my life. And so people started telling me, maybe you need to write a book. And so that led to me writing a book. And then one day, and it was a God idea, because when I was diagnosed with cancer, I read about getting well. I didn't read about other people's experiences. I wanted this to be a personal experience.
Right.
And so I knew that I was supposed to do a benefit. And so I was new to the community. How am I going to do this on a meager income? And God assured me that the people would come, the sponsorship would come. I hosted the benefit last year. The room was packed, and it ended up being a great success.
Beautiful.
And so it has opened doors for me with the Susan G. Komen Foundation. I was at a clinic, and they were doing free mammograms, and I was just talking to the young lady there, and she began to tell me, you know, about breast cancer, and then I told her, I said, I'm a breast cancer survivor, and then she was like, oh, my God, you need to start speaking with the Susan G. Komen Speakers Bureau.
Right.
And so she connected me with them, and so one door just led to the other door, and so I began to realize that God had purpose for my life.
Yeah.
And so I began to use my life, which I've always wanted to do this, is to inspire the people. I just didn't know the process of what I would go through to get to this point. But when I see the lives that I'm touching and the young women that I am inspiring, it is well worth everything that I have went through.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would say to you, and, you know, people, maybe your diagnosis is not cancer. You know, maybe you're grieving a lost one, or maybe you're grieving a wayward child. Whatever your problem is, you have to know that you always get to make a choice. You don't get to choose what happens to you, but you get to choose how you respond to it.
I love that.
And so, yes, our response is what determines how we will move forward in life. And so I have took my lemons, Uh-huh. And I had made lemonade.
Mm-hmm. Oh, honey, you are preaching to the choir.
That's right.
We love this. We love this. This is so much our heart, and I think that's why we're connecting to you. So
I know.
We just, yes. We love what you're, you know, your whole outlook and perspective. And one thing that you said earlier to me, which I really loved, because at heart I'm a dancer anyway, you said, "I'm dancing over impossibilities." And that really just lends itself to this beautiful picture for me of light steps over glass and, you know, all the hardships and how it shouldn't be happening, but you're dancing over that. And I know that has, in large part, is due to your faith. We discussed that before as well. And I know that's a really important aspect to your story.
Absolutely. I am dancing over impossibilities. And life, really what it is a dance. Because from day to day, we don't know what is going to happen to us. But again, we can choose our responses. Mm-hmm. Life is full of surprises. And sometimes those surprises are not always good surprises.
Right.
But at the end of the day, we get to choose how we will respond to life. It's our reactions to life.
For someone that's out there that is facing a new diagnosis and they're in that place right now where they are still saying, "Why is this happening to me? What am I going to do? I want to lay down and die.
This isn't fair."
What is the first thing that you can think to encourage someone to do to turn that around, to make that a life choice, to live fully every single day that they have left on this earth? What is that very first thing that you would recommend that they do?
All change begins with thought. Anything that you want to be changed in your life, it begins with your perception of it.
Right.
And so you may say, "How do I change my perception?" You start feeding yourself with the positive things in life and not looking at just the negative, but the positive things, because whatever you focus on, that is what is going to grow.
That's right.
I don't think about dying. I think about living.
Mm-hmm.
My biggest fear is not dying. My biggest fear is not living with the life that I have left. And so all change, again, begins with the way we think, because our perception determines our actions.
That's right.
And so we have to put positive people around us in our lives. We have to feed ourselves positive things. And yes, the negative thoughts will come, but you have to feed yourself positive things, because again, whatever you feed yourself, that's what would grow.
That's right.
So I'm feeding off of the positive things and the positive people and nature and water. All of those things are positive. And so God has put these things here on the earth for us to enjoy and to feed off of. Take a walk in nature and connect with nature. Or maybe it's water. I love water. And sometimes I go down by the river and I just sit there and I just listen. It's something about getting in that quiet place.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's so many things that drown out our voices.
Mm-hmm.
And so you get in that quiet place and you listen.
Yeah.
And that is where you will find your peace. It's not on the outside of you. Everything you need is on the inside of you.
Yeah.
So it's about getting in that quiet place and just listening, that serenity.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you talked about getting out and moving and walking and that beginning to change your life, it kind of reminded me of the talks that we heard at the convention with our athlete celebrities that were there, Scott Hamill and Shannon Miller. They both had the same, they both talked about the same thing as gymnasts and as figure skaters. When you fall, what do? You get up. You get up and you move again and you keep going and you keep striving to be better and better and better. You know, and that really reminded me, you know, of the same concept.
Yes.
It does me
absolutely,
too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. There is so much positivity when we just move out of our comfort zone. See, sometimes it's comfortable to stay in familiar places. But when life happens to you, it will draw you out in the deep. But see, we want to stay in the shallow water. And maybe what's happening to you is not a good thing, but there's a gift. And I say this, cancer for me was not the gift, but the joy in the process of the journey has been my gift. So no matter what happens after this, I have found the gift of life. I have found out what it means to really live, no matter what your situation is. I'm winning against all odds.
Yeah. I know you said this before, but I think our listeners need to hear this again in real clearly articulated words. And this was when we were talking with you before the show, you said this, and Sharon and I both wrote it down like diligently. And what you said was, I don't know how long I will live, but I do have a choice on how I will live. That is powerful.
Yeah.
Yes, that is so important. We don't get to choose whether we have cancer, you know, heart disease, whatever it is, whether we're healthy, whether we're sick. We don't get to choose how long we live, but we get to choose how we live and what we do in that period while we have life. I'm thinking about living. I'm not thinking about dying because that will take care of itself. But the life that I have, I get up every morning thinking, God, what do you have planned for me today?
Yeah.
I don't think about the cancer. I don't think about the brain aneurysm. I think about living.
Beautiful words.
That's fantastic.
So when we see life from that perspective, life will come to us as a gift. And it will invite us to partake of it. Because that's what God wants us to enjoy life, no matter where we are in our life.
Yeah.
It's an experience. This is an experience. And there was a time in my life when I didn't see it as an experience, but it is an experience, a soul experience. I am a soul survivor. And so there's nothing that you cannot do if you put your mind to it.
Miss Toni, I know that for me, I would guess that it would have been easier to walk through cancer as a patient than as an onlooker and a caregiver. I know we've asked what your advice would be to the newly diagnosed. Do you have any advice for those who surround the newly diagnosed, the caregivers, the friends and family, the spouses? Because you have your own set of emotions and difficulties and hardships in that position. You know, you have more than one perspective here.
Absolutely. And what I would say, first of all, and I learned this because I was my husband's caregiver for almost 2 years. And, you know, there were many family members that came to the hospital and visited him. But I would say that I, as a spouse, needed support as well. And it's so important that you rally people around you, not only for the person that's sick, but for the person that's taking care of the person that's sick, because it takes a whole lot out of you.
Yeah.
And so if I could say anything, build that support system. Build a strong support system. There are people that are willing to help. I know initially when my husband was diagnosed and he was in the hospital in those last 30 days, I was so used to taking care of him, bathing him, you know, shaving him. And I realized that it was time for me to let go of my duties. And it was one of the hardest things that I had to do. But I realized that I needed the help. And it's okay to ask for help. Mm-hmm. And that's what I learned through even getting well. A lot of times we're independent and we feel like that we don't want to bother anyone else, but I learned that it's okay to ask for help. Ask your doctors questions too. I want to say this is very key. Ask questions. You must be proactive in wherever you are in your life. Ask questions. don't just put your life in someone else's hands, but you ask the questions, and you keep asking the questions. And so for me, it's the doctors, it's family, it's friends, it's your spirituality, all of that working together. That is what makes you a winner. That is what brings communities together. It's everybody, because nobody has the one answer. It's all of us coming together collectively. And so for me, it was having that strong support system of people around and asking questions and doing my homework.
Right.
Doing my homework. You must do your homework.
Yeah. Very good advice. Very good.
Okay, well, we really appreciate all that you have contributed. I know that you're just a wealth of experience and knowledge, and that you have allowed your walk to refine you, and everyone who's listened has benefited from that process here. I did want you, I know your book is called A Dance with Destiny, and will you please let our listeners know how they can find your book?
Sure, you can go to my website, which is www.freewebstore.org/A Dance with Destiny.
Okay.
And again, that's www.freewebstore.org/A Dance with Destiny.
And I would recommend all of our listeners to go on that website. Get that book and get it in your hands, because there is pearls of wisdom in those, in her words. Toni has written from her heart, and she is a powerful motivator and a life changer.
Oh, yeah. Not only that, when they go to the website, they get to see how stinking pretty she is.
Beautiful.
She's beautiful. So... Well, thank you so much, Miss Toni, again. And I did not know if you might have a thought for us today. We've come to this portion of the show that we call our not just surviving, but thriving tidbit of the day. And for those of you that are new, Lucy, can you explain sort of what that is?
Well, not just surviving, but thriving moment is that time, a little experience that kind of captures what our life purpose is. It's like putting aside all the other things of the world and knowing that you're in that moment for that moment.
Yeah,
and
just,
how precious it is.
Just taking in what life has to offer you in the moment. Miss Toni, would you happen to have a little experience like that you could share with us?
Sure, I do. I definitely do. As you were talking, I was thinking, and I remember this so vividly. This is when I was in the hospital, and I had been diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. I remember they were wheeling me downstairs to x-rays, and I looked to the side of me, and I saw a sign that says, "There is a difference in giving up and letting go."
Mm.
Wow.
Beautiful. Yeah, that's profound.
And so for me, that was an aha moment, because I knew what God was asking me. It's just to let go of the control.
Mm.
And so many times in our lives, we are in situations and, you know, we just feel so out of control because we can't control. But it's okay to let go. Just never give up.
Mm-hmm. Well, that is definitely thriving and not just surviving. You know, you are facing so many things medically right now that most people would say, "What the heck? I'm just not going to fight this anymore." But you are thriving, my dear, through all your obstacles, and just a beautiful person.
And you have two new fans.
Yes.
Two new fans, Miss Toni. So... All right, well, we're going to say goodbye to our listeners now.
Yes. And for all of you that are following us from week to week, we're just going to say goodbye for now. But we're not just surviving, but thriving with you.
Bye-bye
now.
Bye-bye.